compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. I am Patrick Madrid, and my number is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I'd like to share with you an email, or not, it's not technically an email, it's a letter that I received in the recent months, and it's a great letter. I just want to share it with you. It's coming from a gentleman by the name of Connor. And Connor says, I just want to thank you personally for everything that you do. Your teachings on Catholicism have greatly influenced my life. And I want to share with you how your ideas are bearing great fruit in the world. I'd like to offer a little background to demonstrate what I'm talking about and how this listening to this program has benefited me. I was born into a Protestant family. And growing up, I attended several different churches, Episcopal, Lutheran, Evangelical, non-denominational, etc. My family was not anti-Catholic, but they were generally followers of Martin Luther and saw the Reformation as a good thing. At some point, I became convinced of the once saved, always saved doctrine, which took me down a long path of sin and debauchery. And I want to pause there for a second, because what he's saying, if you don't understand that once saved, always saved ideology, what he just said may not make a lot of sense to you. In the Protestant world, and in particular, primarily, but not exclusively, among Baptists and those religious groups that have been heavily influenced by the Baptist theology, the once saved, always saved belief is that once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, once you have said the sinner's prayer or its equivalent, in other words, once you have said yes to Jesus, and I believe in you, and you confess that, then you are saved, and there's nothing that you can do that will unsave you. There's nothing you can do that would change things back to how they were before you prayed the sinner's prayer, before you accepted Jesus. Now, I'm saying this in the way that you would typically hear it from somebody who holds to this view. So once saved, always saved. Now, there is a version of that. It's not exactly the same exact idea, but within Calvinism, there's a similar kind of thing, and that's known as perseverance of the saints, where the elect are guaranteed to go to heaven no matter what because they are the elect. They are chosen by God, predestined for salvation. Now, the Bible does teach predestination. Separate topic, we won't get into it right now. But for the purposes of my reading the letter here from Connor, please understand that what that means is, in the minds of people who hold this view, is that once you're saved, if you fall into serious sin, whatever it may be, it really doesn't matter what it is. Jesus has already paid the price for your sins, and you are saved. So, yeah, you might be embarrassed, or you would need to repent, you would need to, you know, get back on the straight and narrow kind of thing. But ultimately, once saved, always saved. It doesn't really matter what you've done in any strict sense, because you're still saved. And you might find someone saying, well, you'll have a lower place in heaven, or you'll have a less shiny crown, or you're going to have a stern talking to with Jesus when you get up there, but you're still going to heaven. So with that in mind, understand the point that he's making here. So he says, I became convinced of the once saved, always saved doctrine, which took me down a long path of sin and debauchery. In hindsight, it was really just a way to rationalize bad behavior. But I truly lived out Luther's quote, paraphrasing here, to let your sins be strong because no sin can separate us from Jesus, even if we kill or commit adultery thousands of times a day. He says, I basically lived the life of St. Augustine before his conversion. And I'll pause. If you want to know what kind of life St. Augustine lived before his conversion at about the age of 31, read his book, The Confessions. And in his confessions, he confesses a great deal, and he's very forthright. He doesn't explain it in a way that will inflame your imagination. So he's not going to subject you to mental images that will cause you temptation. But he still tells his story. He refers to himself at that time as an abyss of sin. And his sins primarily were sins of the flesh, sexual sins. That was his primary sin. He also had sins of pride, and he got his start on the pathway down that direction by stealing fruit from a neighboring farmer's orchard. And that's kind of what opened the floodgates. In any case, so back to Connor's letter. He says, however, despite my sinful lifestyle, I went to the military after high school, where I served as an Army Ranger for several years and then attended college and later law school. In my last semester of college, I met my wife, who was Catholic. After my wife and I were married, I decided to become Catholic, and I attended RCIA. RCIA is an acronym. It stands for the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. It's the inquiry class that people can take at a parish if they're considering becoming Catholic. Catholics can take it if they want to. It's a program that will help them understand more about the Catholic faith. Some parishes do a better job than others, but by and large, that's what the RCIA is there for. And when it comes to those who are going to formally enter the church, it is a formal process that they go through. So he says he entered the RCIA, and he says, in my RCIA class, I was amazed and impressed by the 2,000-year history of the Catholic Church. But my Protestant background still dominated most of my thinking. For the next 10 years, I attended Mass on Sundays, but I did not take the Eucharist seriously, and I did not go to confession at all. In fact, the only time I went to confession was in RCIA, where my examination of conscience was subpar. However, despite my lukewarmness for Catholic doctrines and practices, I was freely open with friends at work about the fact I was Catholic. And a few years ago, a Mormon coworker directly challenged me, commenting that it was too bad your church went the wrong way after the apostles died. He referred to something called the Great Apostasy, which I had never heard of before. For some reason, this challenge sparked something inside me. In hindsight, I now understand that challenges have always done this to me, and it was different challenges that resulted in me joining the military, going to college, attending law school, etc. After hearing my friend's comment, I immediately came home, did a search online for The Great Apostasy, and I found one of your videos on Mormonism. I listened to that video and then re-listened to it several times, taking notes, and then found another video and another and another. I spent the next few days listening to every video I could find where you spoke about Mormonism. Soon after, I discovered some of your debates from the 1990s. I listened to the first and second Catholic Mormon dialogues. I then listened to the Bible-only debate and what still divides us. During all these debates, I took tons of notes, and I learned several things for the first time, all of which now seem obvious, but at the time, I had never thought of them. For example, one, the fact that the Bible had been created by the Catholic Church. And I'm going to editorialize here. I'm going to pause and put on my editorial hat. Strictly speaking, and I understand what Connor's saying here, strictly speaking, the Catholic Church doesn't claim to have made the Bible. I think what he's referring to here is that it was in and through the Catholic Church that God, who inspired these books of the Bible, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. And the point that he's making here is that it was in and through the Catholic Church in regional councils and then later in ecumenical councils that formally pronounced which are the books that belong in the canon of Scripture, both Old and New Testament. God made the canon. God made these books inspired, but it was the Catholic Church that formally pronounced that. Okay, so that's what he's referring to there. A second thing that he said now seems obvious, but he had never thought of at the time, is that the Catholic Church came before the Bible, and that's certainly true. Read Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, 1 through 4, where St. Luke describes how the eyewitnesses of Jesus were preaching the gospel and telling everybody about Jesus, and he decided, St. Luke, to set it all down in an orderly fashion so that people who read this version of the Bible, this gospel, in other words, that they would know the certainty of what they had been told by the oral statements by these eyewitnesses. So the church came before the Bible is his second point. He says, third, that Jesus left us with a church and not a book. I have since discovered that sometimes what is most obvious can be the most difficult to see. He says, I also learned the names of several early saints, which I had never heard of before, like Pope St. Clement of Rome, St. Ignatius of Antioch, St. Polycarp of Smyrna, St. Justin Martyr, and St. Irenaeus of Lyon. I also started to read the letters and writings of these saints. He says, listened to several debates between you and James White. One of these debates was one of my favorite lines, where Mr. White asks you, paraphrasing here, Can you show me an apostolic tradition that is binding upon all Christians that is not found in the pages of the New Testament? And your reply was, holding up a Bible, the canon of the New Testament is part of apostolic tradition, and it is not found in Scripture, and it is binding. He says, it was almost as if this idea clicked a switch in my head. It was an example of another very obvious truth I had never considered before. I then read several of your books, including Surprised by Truth, A Pocket Guide to Catholic Apologetics, Why Be Catholic. He lists several books, Pope Fiction. He says, through these books, I was introduced to many other Catholic authors, like Dr. Scott Hahn and Dr. Peter Kraft and Frank Sheed and Archbishop Fulton Sheen and many others. He says, I also read through all three volumes of Radio Replies, based on your recommendation in several videos. I read through the Catechism for the first time and have since read it several times. I started watching Catholic programs on, it looks like, YouTube. He talks about The Journey Home, which is Marcus Grody's wonderful long-running series about those who convert to the Catholic Church. He says, I started listening to Relevant Radio. During the shutdown, I especially leaned on Relevant Radio for daily Mass with Father Rocky, which gave me a whole new appreciation for the Mass. I started researching articles on Catholic Answers. I also started to recite the Rosary daily after I heard the Rosary referred to as a weapon, a concept that very much appealed to my military mindset. I'm not surprised. He says, suffice it to say, my friend's challenge at work, and by the way, I'm pausing here, all of the stuff that he just described started because a Mormon coworker had made an offhand comment about the total apostasy theory that Mormons believe in, that the church was completely lost as a result of heresy and syncretism and Hellenistic philosophy and corruption. And although Jesus promised that he would be with his church until the end of time, and although he promised that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, according to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a.k.a. Mormons, they believe that Jesus didn't live up to that, and that the church that he established, both in the land of Israel as well as a parallel church that they believe he established in the Americas shortly after his resurrection, both of these churches, they believe, failed. And it was just this offhand comment. Isn't it amazing the things that can start and snowball as a result of a single small comment? And that's how this all began, with the comment from his coworker who was a Mormon. So he says, suffice to say, my friend's challenge at work resulted in some very intense self-study over the past few years, which all started with your videos. Based on this study, not only have I been able to respond to my Mormon friend's challenge about the great apostasy, but I've also been able to respond to many other challenges which continue to pop up every day, from atheists, agnostics, Protestants, relativists, modernists, nuns, N-O-N-E-S, Muslims, Jews, and all the other positions in between. It's almost like the more I study, the more challenges I am confronted with, and the more I need to study to meet these new challenges. It's a never-ending cycle, but it continues to lead me to more knowledge and provide me with valuable experience defending Catholicism, hopefully with tactfulness and charity. And then in parentheses, he says, although I'm still working on this. That is a lifelong project. I know what you mean. His conclusion of the letter says, most importantly, I have begun to take my Catholic faith more seriously, first by taking the Eucharist seriously and truly believing that the host is the real body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, and that he is really present in the tabernacle in a special way, but also by going to confession regularly. He says, my first real confession, the word real is in quotation marks, my first real confession included a lot of specifics from my prior life, and I felt a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders afterwards. It was a truly miraculous experience. I have also made some changes in my home life. I now pray with my children every night, sometimes the Rosary and other times the Liturgy of the Hours. Additionally, my wife is pregnant again, which is directly attributable to me learning and then taking seriously the Church's teaching on contraception. Ultimately, I am so thankful for my friend's challenge, which forced me to look around for answers, but I am also very thankful for the answers you provided in your videos, your debates, your books, and by your example. With your help, I have started a process of learning that I hope will never end. Thanks again for everything. Respectfully, Connor. Man, did I enjoy getting that letter. so many wonderful things in that letter. And I wanted to share it with you because I think there's a lot there for you personally. Number one, you'll notice that for a period of time, what was it, about 10 years, he said, he was Catholic in name only. Catholic on paper. Yeah, I'm a Catholic, sure. But if you are only a Catholic in name only, and you're not really a Catholic, and what I mean by Catholic, I'm going to use it synonymously with a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're not really living that life, it's just printed on your business card, you know, Joe Blow, Catholic, then it doesn't really mean anything, as he discovered. Just associating yourself with the Catholic Church because you're comfortable with the routine, or, of course, I'm Catholic, I'm Italian kind of thing. A lot of people kind of walk through life with a cultural association with their faith, and it's not really a heartfelt faith. This is one reason, by the way, why the door-to-door missionaries from various groups tend to be very successful among Catholics. I remember that one time when I was visited by Jehovah's Witnesses many years ago, and they saw that they weren't getting very far with me, so they decided to move on. And just as they were walking away, one of the guys turned back and he says, "Hey, by the way, can you tell us if there are any Catholic families in the neighborhood?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "Oh, we're just curious if there are any Catholic families in the neighborhood." And I said, "Well, no, thank you very much. I'm not going to tell you where the Catholics are." And the reason was because I knew that they knew that Catholics tend to be pretty easy pickings, because Catholics generally, no offense intended, this is just how it is. Generally speaking, the average Catholic man or woman, after, let's say, about eighth grade, maybe a little bit older when they got confirmed, most Catholic young people stop any kind of systematic study of the faith and the Bible, and they just sort of stop at that point, and then they get busy with life and jobs and college and careers and things like that. So the average Catholic in this country, please do not take any disrespect from what I'm saying to you. This is true. The average Catholic in this country has about an eighth grade knowledge of the Catholic faith, because on average, on balance, that's typically around the time when they stop studying their Catholic faith. And let's face it, we need to know our faith far more rigorously nowadays than maybe 30, 40 years ago, maybe even 10, 20 years ago, with the onslaught of modern media and mass social communication, all of these challenges to our worldview coming from other worldviews. You're not going to be up to the challenge. You can't heft the weight of those challenges if you don't know what you believe and why, which is the other part of what made me so happy to receive Connor's letter, and that is that he gives the why. In other words, he shows his work. You teachers will like that phrase, right? He shows his work. He shows how he got to this conclusion. It's good that he got there, but it's even better that he's sharing it in terms of showing his work and showing how he arrived at this. And you'll notice that a great deal of it was with a little bit of elbow grease to make a point of learning more. And I dare say in modern times, it seems that even something as basic as like reading books, a lot of people don't even really read books anymore. They spend hours and hours with their phones and they flip from one app to another, or they flit around from one, you know, maybe a news source to another or something, but that's not really amassing knowledge. And so I share that letter with you in hopes that it will encourage you and edify you. Maybe you're another Connor in waiting, whether or not you are a man or a woman. Maybe you'll be Sarah Connor. Little sci-fi joke for you there. But in any case, Connor, it's awesome. I'm so glad that you wrote to me. Thank you for taking the time to put your thoughts down so profoundly. And I'm glad I could share it with an audience so that what you went through is something that other people can see, that they can do that too. And they can arrive at the same convictions and certitudes that you've arrived at. That's awesome. Well, speaking of awesome, we have an awesome show, but we have to take a break every so often. So we'll do one now. We'll come back. The number to dial to be on the phone with me is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values, and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
If you want to see a... I don't know how to describe it. I think it's a cool video. It's a short video. Check out my Twitter feed. There is a young woman, and I can't quite tell how young she is. I mean, she could be a teenager. She could be 17, or she could be 20, 21. I don't know. But she's in some kind of a cooking contest show. And poor thing, she's got a jar of something. Looks like it could be tomato sauce. And she can't get the lid off the jar. And apparently she's under a lot of pressure because this is all timed. And she's, you can see her panic growing as she can't get the lid off the jar to cook what she's doing. So she runs over to her dad, who's in the grandstands watching her, and he cranks the lid off that thing like nobody's business. And she gets this big smile on her face because now she can go back and finish what she's doing. So I like the caption of the lady who put this on there. Girls need their dads. And I do agree with that. So if you want to see that, it only lasts about 15 seconds, but it's neat. I think you'll like it. Just go to my Twitter feed. You'll see it there. 888-914-9149. Let me start over again. 888-914-9149. We'll go to Jenny now in Minneapolis. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for reading that letter from Connor. And I totally agree that we are only educated to an eighth grade level. I was blessed with a husband that continued his education in our faith. And when I met him, I learned so much more. And we are even more blessed with a school here in the Twin Cities called Chesterton Academy, based off of the teachings of G.K. Chesterton. And I know there are numerous more locations that are opening across the country and even across the world. I don't know the exact numbers and locations, but I know our the founder and our current headmaster, Dr. Alquist, has brought that up. And I cannot tell you how lucky we are with the formation that our son is receiving. He's a sophomore this year, and I can tell you he already knows way more than my husband and I do.
That's a dangerous combination when your 16-year-old knows more than
very,
you do.
Very.
Does he ever bring that up in polite conversation with you?
Oh, yeah, and maybe not so politely, too.
Well, you always have to keep that competitive edge over him. So for the people, I am familiar with the Chesterton Academy model. In fact, I believe at least once, if not twice over the years, I was a keynote speaker at one of the school's gala events to raise funds. But that's a long time ago. So for people who are not familiar with it, do you want to share with them what kind of things your son is learning?
Oh, boy, you're going to challenge me. I don't know if I could say it concisely, but I just know our conversations that we are having with him are just so in depth, and things that he is saying just go right over my head sometimes, and I'm just so very impressed.
I can imagine. Well, that's a wonderful thing that you have that opportunity, and I'm happy to hear that they're proliferating. Jim, you said something about one being near you, right?
Yeah, we moved here just to Northern Illinois recently, and really excited because it'll be a few years before my son's in high school. But yeah, there's a location at the parish there in Bolo. So yeah, we're very excited about that.
That's great. Thank you, Jim. Well, Jenny, I'm happy for you and your husband and certainly for your son. When you heard that letter that I read from Connor, what stuck out in your mind? What was your takeaway from what he said?
The eighth grade education. I have a friend from grade school that I've been having some side conversations with about pro-life issues. And and she came to me and she asked me, how do you stay in the Catholic Church with all of the scandals that have been going on? And I I told her, you know, you have to realize that we were not catechized correctly. Our parents thought we were being catechized the same way they were with the nuns. My dad mm-hmm. went to a school here in the Twin Cities, St. Agnes, that is very devout, and he thought we were receiving that education, and we were not, unfortunately. Right. And I'm the fourth of five, and I'm pretty much the only one that is strongly practicing our faith, and it's a great heartache for my dad. And so I was telling my friends that, you know, we just have not been catechized correctly, and there's just so much more to know than what we do.
Well, this is one reason, maybe the reason, Jenny, why Relevant Radio exists, is to help fill in those blanks, to help rebuild a lost faith, to help bring people back up to a level that's going to really be necessary to live in this world. So that's why we're here. We're here to help with that. And I'm glad that you're listening. And thanks for taking a moment to call today. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Yeah, that theory of mine that I shared as I was reading Connor's letter, I've been talking about this for some time now, and that is just simply, if you're just tuning in, you didn't hear what I said. I was saying that because most Catholics in the United States, by the time they get confirmed, unless they're going to go on to study theology maybe, but that's pretty rare, but most Catholics typically cease their study of the Catholic faith at about the time they get confirmed. So, you know, eighth grade, maybe a little bit later than that, and they get busy with other things, and then they really stop studying the faith, stop studying what it means to be a Catholic. And that's why I'm saying that the average Catholic in the United States has about an eighth grade knowledge of the Catholic faith. Some a little more, some a little less, but I think on average. And, you know, the thing too, before I go to my next phone call, the thing too that Jenny said that she gets asked sometimes, well, why on earth are you staying in the Catholic Church? My answer to that question comes from John chapter 6, verse 70. Actually, John chapter 6, rather, verse 67. Jesus then said to the 12, do you also want to leave? And this is because of the people that he was preaching to about the bread of life. They understood him to mean this literally, and they couldn't take it, and they walked away and followed him no more. And so he turns to the 12 apostles and says, do you also want to leave? And the answer that Simon Peter gave is the answer that I would give to anybody who says, well, why don't you want to leave the Catholic Church? I would say, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. And to take that same message, I would say the same thing about the Church Christ established. Where else would I go? The Catholic Church has the words of eternal life, even if Catholics don't always live up to that. And I have come to believe and I am convinced that the Holy One of God, Jesus, established the Catholic Church. So simply put, that's my answer. Where would I go? There is no else to go. It'd be like diving overboard if you were on Noah's Ark during the flood and you just got sick and tired of the stench from the animals and the noise and it's messy and you can't get a good night's sleep and you're seasick and you say, I'm out of here, and you dive overboard. Why would you do that? Because then you're toast. Everybody who didn't get on the ark was toast. Soggy toast, but they were toast. And so I look at it that way. Yeah, the Catholic Church can be a very messy, unruly, and even at times unpleasant place with unpleasant people. And maybe I'm one of those unpleasant people from time to time. I suppose we all can be, right? But why on earth would you ever leave the Catholic Church? It would be as ridiculous as jumping overboard from Noah's Ark during the flood. That's how I look at it. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Katerina. I almost said Katrina. Excuse me. Katerina in Scottsdale. Welcome.
Patrick.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to talk to you about my son is being accused of bullying, and we got a letter saying a formal complaint based on discriminating based on gender identity has been filed from a kid. And basically, my son is, he's very strong in his faith.
How old is he?
He's 10 years old.
Okay.
These are fifth graders. And there's a boy, he just started dressing in skirts. you know, through the years, we've known that he's been more towards geared that way. Mm-hmm. But now it's full on skirts and dresses. And
well, what happened that prompted this formal complaint from this boy?
So basically, since the start of the school year, he has a group of kids, and it's like growing in kids, like all these.
Just give me the bare details. Give me the cash value, Katarina.
Yes. Okay. So these kids are calling my son a homophobe because he doesn't believe in LGBTQ. And they're asking him, do you support this? And he says, no. And then they call him a homophobe.
Right.
And he
so
says,
he's the one being
you're
bullied.
Not a
He's the one being bullied, and the one who's bullying him is painting himself as the victim by filing this stupid complaint against your 10-year-old son, right?
Right.
Here's what you could do. I mean, family finances permitting. If you have a friend or maybe someone in the parish who's a lawyer, then you write a cease and desist, have your lawyer write a cease and desist letter to the school and reference that formal complaint that was made against him and say that, you know, this is a blatant case of bullying against your son. And you list have the lawyer list all of the details about how they are harassing him because he doesn't go along with their ideology. And they resorted to retaliating against him by filing this complaint. And you file your own complaint. And you have your lawyer file a complaint against the school and against, if necessary, even against that child. And you do it that way, then you've got a little bit of teeth in there. Because what's happening is, to use the popular term nowadays, they're gaslighting your son. In other words, they're making it look as though he's the one who's doing something wrong, when it's them who are coming after him, they who are coming after him, and they're trying to punish him this way. Then what I would do is, if the school doesn't back down, then I would get him out of that school right away. Because this will probably escalate, and eventually it could get to the point where they might even do something really stupid, like suspend your son, and then you have to explain that away when you take him to a different school. So I would go on the offensive. I would go after them. I would get a lawyer involved. I would document this with a letter, and if they don't back down, even if they did back down, quite frankly, Katarina, if I were you, I would get my son out of that school post haste.
I'm tending to agree with you for sure. Yeah. We have a lot of good Catholic schools here that would support our beliefs.
He's 10 years old, poor child. He's 10 years old, and he's bearing the brunt of this nonsense. And it's not right for him to have to do that.
If he wears a clown suit to school, people are going to say something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... They're 10. They shouldn't even be talking about this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And the boy who's wearing skirts is a hero in the eyes of these alleged adults who are running this school. Yeah, I mean, the more I think about it, the more I'm certain that I would take my son out of this school. They don't deserve him. And if they're going to maltreat him like that, you know, I would fire that salvo for sure and document it. And, you know, all of the above, the lawyer can explain to you what's the best way to go about it. But I would do that. Maybe it will cost you $200-$300 to have a letter written like that. I think that's worth it. Put them on notice.
Okay.
You know?
Sounds good. We'll do.
All right. Okay. Well, don't do it just because I'm saying so. I'm just offering you this advice. But that's, I think that's what I would do.
We've been talking about him going to a different school for a while now, and just because it's getting crazy out there.
And don't go out without a bang. In other words, don't slink away into the darkness, you know, where you just quietly withdraw your son. You know, I would say get your pound of flesh.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I like that.
More power to you and your husband, Katarina. I hope this goes well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Call me back, you know, in a month or so, and let me know how it all shook out. I'd love to see that letter, too. if your lawyer does right by you, you know, it'll be a scorching letter to put them on notice. And they may just throw it away. Who cares? But at least you got your pound of flesh on the way out the door. Break time. Let's do that. We'll come back for phone calls. We have a line that's open now. The number is 888-914-9149. If you want that open line, call now or you're going to miss out. 888-914-9149. I'll be right there. Right back. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
A word to the wise. Costco is warning customers over an impending, are you ready for this? Toilet paper shortage. This is not a drill. Take this seriously. Costco Wholesale is having trouble fulfilling toilet paper orders. The membership-only warehouse retail chain is issuing a warning to customers. That means you, if you're a customer. If you've purchased the common household item online, they're saying that they may not be able to fulfill your future orders due to increased volumes. You may see a slight delay in the processing of this order. That's a Costco customer service announcement. The retailer noted that the company is working to fulfill everything as quickly as possible and that customers will get a follow-up email with the tracking information once an order has shipped. Can you believe we've come to this where you're going to get alerts on your phone when the toilet paper is finally available? That's not a very good situation to be in. So when I say word to the wise, because we've been just tracking over the last 6-8 months all these insane shortages, Taco Bell running out of tortillas. How does that even happen? There's a liquor shortage, just as an addendum to that one. This is from NPR. Several states across the U.S. are experiencing booze shortages. Now, that may or may not affect you, may not matter to you one way or the other, but you know, if you like a glass of wine or you have a, you know, a libation that you enjoy, liquor stores all around the country are finding a squeeze when it comes to getting the liquid libations. And if you're interested in this article, I won't read it to you. It's just too lengthy, but it's got a lot of detail in there and it goes across many different states, New Jersey, Vermont, Pennsylvania. It's pretty comprehensive. And if you are wise, I think you will have some extra toilet paper put aside. Not for a rainy day, but you get the point. And if you like a little bit of the bubbly, you might want to put a little bit aside. And I mean that seriously. I'm not saying hoard it, but I would have a little bit on hand because you may not be able to get it. It's kind of like the way it was when COVID started up in earnest last year. You may remember from 1 week to the next, you went to the grocery store 1 week and there was plenty of everything. And you went a week later and there were whole aisles that were just empty, like where the Lysol used to be and where the toilet paper used to be. So I'm just telling you this so that you don't find yourself in a difficult spot if things do get worse. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Rolando in Chicago. Hi, Rolando.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. I'm calling to see if I can get a couple of resources from you that I heard you talk about in the past. Uh-huh. The first one is, you know, unfortunately, I have a brother who's struggling severely with drug addiction. Okay. And a couple of weeks ago, I heard you mention a good resource for like a Catholic-based rehabilitation center. Do you remember that?
I do indeed. I love recommending these people. This is Comunità Cenacolo. So Comunità, C-O-M-U-N... I-T-A, Cenacolo,
C-E,
yeah, it's Italian, okay? So Comunità Cenacolo, C-E-N-A-C-O-L-O. Now, that's the Italian word for the cenacle, the upper room where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. Their website is hopereborn.org. Hopereborn.
Oh, okay, hopereborn.org.
Yeah, so I'll just tell you briefly about this group. It was started by Sister Elvira. And it is, they have a couple of different places. The main one that I know about is in, I think it's St. Augustine, Florida. Let me double check that. It's in St. Augustine, Florida. So the purpose of this organization is to help people, and primarily young people, could be, you know, high school. Well, probably not high school. I think you have to be 18 or older to go to this. And it's primarily people whose lives have been just destroyed because of drugs and alcohol. And this is a place where they go, they live in community, they work, they serve, they pray, they have fun, they barbecue, they go to the beach, but they get cleaned up, they get sober, and they get their lives back again. Now, I have known people personally whose children were just in the death grip of an addiction to drugs and or alcohol. And I know personally some success stories when all hope seemed lost, and they would send their children here and they would get back on track. It's just a beautiful thing. So I'm very happy to be able to recommend them to you, Rolando.
Now, I don't know if you might not know this. I'll have to look it up on the website, but my brother's in his 40s. You think that's out of their range?
No, I don't think it is. I guess okay. What I meant was that I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I don't think they accept anybody who's below the age of 18.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. Yeah, I'll definitely check them out. I appreciate that. Okay. And then the last one, I heard you mention, what's the website for kids that are going to college looking for a good Catholic school based on their major? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that's the Cardinal Newman Society, and their website is, hang on, I'll get it for you. It is newmansociety.org.
Newman Society. Thank you, Patrick. You're a godsend. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And thank the Lord, right? We're all in this together. Let's go to Jim now in West Palm Beach, Florida. Good morning, Jim.
Morning. I don't want to be a burden or anything. I listen to you every morning in my car.
Thank you.
I'm an alcoholic. Had many, many years sober. Helped many people. I was a counselor, a case manager. Uh-huh. And yada, yada, yada. Regardless, I relapsed 6 months ago, and I am having the hardest time getting back on track. There's something in my head saying, and I am a Christian, I'm a Catholic, totally dependent on the Lord. There's something saying you can never get it back again. You know, it's like
that. You can never get what back again?
Recovery again. Being
that's a lie.
Happy. Being that's a happy. Lie. Being
you can get joy. It all back again. So let me ask you a couple questions, Jim. You said you had your relapse 6 years ago. I assume you were probably doing the 12 steps. You were in AA before that?
I have been going like I regularly. No, I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I started and felt better, and then something happened, and I fell off again. But that's probably the key to get there again.
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's a big part of it. I mean, I've never been to AA, but I know people. I have a very dear friend who is an alcoholic, and he's been sober for, if I had to guess, maybe 10 years. And he has taught me a lot about that world. So that would be one thing, would be encourage you to go back to the meetings. I mean, you can find them at a moment's notice, right? They're all over the place, aren't they?
Oh, they're everywhere. They are.
Are you, I mean, I don't mean to be overly personal, but how old are you, Jim? Are you still working in a career, or what's your state in life right now?
That was when the problem started. I retired and I got nothing to do. I lost purpose, and that's, I think, when it all started. I got nothing to do, and oh my God!
Are you married?
Widowed.
Okay, let me offer you this suggestion. Do you have a pen handy? Pencil, crayon, anything.
Hold on a second. I'm going to find one. I have one here.
Good. Because I'd like you to write this down. That way, in case you forget, you'll see it again. You'll see it written down on that notepad.
Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So this is a website for that group I was talking about a minute ago. It's called hopereborn.org.
What is it?
Hope, H-O-P-E, Reborn, R-E-B-O-R-N.
Reborn.org.
Okay.
HopeReborn.org. .org.
Right. So here's what I'd like to recommend to you. Go onto that website and get in touch with this community. And I'm going to give you their phone number as well. Let me give you their phone number, okay? 904.
Okay. 904. Yep.
501.
504.
No, 501. 501.
501. Yep.
Yep. So 501, and then the last four digits are 7872.
7872.
Two.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
I
got it. Here's my advice. Please do this, Jim. Take a minute, go on their website and look at what they've got available. And they're not far from you because they're in St. Augustine, Florida. And you are in West Palm Beach. So I'm in the other side of the state, but it's not far. And then call them and ask them to offer you advice. Is their service something that you could take advantage of? If not, what do they recommend? But they are in a position to help you. And they know what they're doing, and they care. And they care about you, Jim. And they're near enough to you where you can actually get some for real help from people like this who are going to do what they can to give you assistance, okay?
Okay. I will try it. I have the number. It's 904-501-7872.
Right. And that's the HopeReborn.org is the website.
Right. Okay. I'll check them out. I'm desperate. Listen, the enemy's up in my head, and I can't seem to get rid of them.
I hear you. I understand, Jim. Well, we'll be praying for you. And can you make a commitment that you'll go to an AA meeting today?
Make a commitment that I'll go to an AA meeting today. Let's see. Yeah, I can make the 5:30 meeting. I have to my doctor's appointment. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Good. So go do that too. You know, don't slough off on that. Go to the meeting and then maybe get with somebody at that meeting who can continue to help you.
Okay.
You can do it, Jim. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it.
There's a little piece of me that says I can, or I wouldn't be calling. But well, okay.
All right.
I appreciate your time.
Jim, call me. Can you call me in a couple of weeks just so I can hear how things are going?
Yeah, I will. I will call you, Jim Riley. Easy last name, Life of Riley. And I'll tell you. I will let you know how I'm doing. I will do that. Yeah.
That would be good. That is awesome, Jim.
Okay.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. I really do.
Okay. Thank you. Hang in there. For those of you who maybe have had problems with alcohol, or you know people who have had problems with alcohol, there are a lot of gyms in the world. Watch this movie. You can get it. It's I'm almost certain you could get it on Amazon Prime or one of the other platforms, and probably for free. The movie is called Days of Wine and Roses. It stars Jack Lemmon, and the name of the female star will come to me in a minute. I'm blanking on her name. She was a famous star in that day. It's all about alcoholism. And it's a fascinating, it's not a documentary, it's a movie. It's a dramatic movie. And Jack Lemmon was among the best actors ever, if you ask me. And boy, does he act so well in this movie. It's about alcoholics and how the disease progresses and what it can do to somebody's life. And so regardless of where you are on the spectrum in terms of, you know, how well or how poorly you handle alcohol, if you drink at all, you really should watch this movie. Because it will dramatize for you the trajectory that so often is followed by people who are not able to gain mastery over this problem. It's called Days of Wine and Roses. And I'll leave it at that. I want you to see it. I won't give you any preamble to it. Just see it. And you'll thank me later. And you'll say, oh my gosh, I never heard about that movie, or I never saw it before. But I think you'll find it very enlightening. And if nothing else, it's a great introduction to a very destructive thing, as you just heard from Jim a minute ago. So also, if you don't mind, in your kindness, please pray for Jim and all the other people who are carrying that particular cross. We all carry crosses, and that's a particularly difficult one for many people. So let's remember to pray for Jim. All right, we're going to take another quick timeout. We're going to start back up again in just a moment. The number to dial to be on the program is 888-914-9149. Jot that down, Days of Wine and Roses, starring Jack Lemmon. You want to see that movie. 888-914-9149. I will be right back, so please stay right there.